G'day everyone, Fizz here. Just wanted to say before we start today's pod that we'd actually recorded the episode before the Sam Docherty ACL injury happened. So if there's any information that comes across as though Docherty's still playing in 2019, we apologise. We've tried to remove it all that's going to be directly affected by the injury just to keep accuracy's sake. But we just hope you understand if anything's slipped through the cracks that we obviously, it was a little bit out of our control on this one. So we just hope you enjoy the show anyway. Cheers.
Welcome to the Draft Doctors Fantasy Footy Podcast with your hosts, John Crockett, Steve Fizz, and the Statesman.
G'day everybody and welcome to the Draft Doctors. It's Jono here and we are talking all things sleepers. Those players that you're looking at the back end of your draft that might provide you with a bit of value. And as always to help out is Stevie Fizz. How are you handling the heat, Steve?
Oh, it's actually a thunderstorm as we're recording this, Jono, so there is no heat. But I wanted to throw the heat because I got a strempling. Haven't had a strempling for a while and I'm bringing the fire tonight. This might be a bit unpopular, but I want to strample people who brag about their club's membership numbers. This is one thing that pisses me off, like, unbelievably. Like, it's like, oh, we got 50. Like, who gives a shit? Like, does that help you win a match?
Well, I'm going to throw your team Collingwood under the bus because they've got pet memberships, which are included in the overall figure. So we've got 70,000 members, 10,000 of them are bloody of kittens and fucking dogs.
Well, and that's right. And who cares?
Who's taking their cattle dog to the game, though? It's bullshit.
It's absolute horse crap. Although, you know, the dogs probably have a membership for their mascot and waddle its fat ass in there, so probably count it. So I don't know. It's disappointing, John. Yeah. It just drives me around the twist. Like, I just don't care. Like, signing up memberships before Christmas, it doesn't mean you're coming. When you're coming, you get that look on your face. And you just go, ugh.
The O face.
Yeah, there you go.
The O face. And we welcome the injured man of the Geelong world, but he lives in Paran. We welcome to you, Cam McLaughlin. How you doing?
Doing quite well. And I just want to tap into something that Steve's just said there and what you've just said, Jono. I have no idea that Collingwood have just employed the Sideshow Bob methodology of getting votes and people through the gate. That is amazing. I had no idea. Well done.
That's been going about almost 2 years, I reckon, they've had the pet membership going on. It's just ludicrous.
Ludicrous indeed, sir.
And we do have a special guest today. Joining us all the way from South Australia is the Golden Tonsils himself. From the Fantasy Hour, it is Hayden Doss Kennedy. Welcome to you, mate.
G'day, boys. Thanks for having me. I found out the topic of this pod about 10 seconds ago, so I'll be pretty useless. And I'm working off a zooper-duper diet here in the heat. But thank you very much for having me.
I think that's the prerequisite for being on the Draft Doctors is a zooper-duper diet. I know Steve's a big fan of them.
Yeah, no, I love a tube. We called them tubes. Did you have a weird name for him in high school?
Oh, you're talking about
tubes. I don't call them being tubes.
Yeah, we called them tubes.
Funny faces, guys. Funny faces.
What's the favourite flavour there, Steve, if you're a big fan?
Oh, I'm all cola. I've got to hit the cola.
That's pretty boring.
I don't want pineapple. I don't want pineapple. What's up with... Don't give me that shit.
That can go out the door with AFLX. But we are talking our sleepers today, and when we talk sleepers, those are those players later in the draft that we're looking at that might provide us a bit of value. So an example of a perfect sleeper was probably Luke Ryan in Supercoach last year. Would have gone pretty late in a lot of drafts and ended up averaging you quite well if you did pick him up. And so that's what we're looking at today. And Steve, why don't you kick us off of your first sleeper, please?
Yeah, so my first sleeper is someone who was very popular amongst draft circles towards the back half of last year, and that's James Harms for Melbourne, and mid only this year. And he's really down the list in terms of midfield averages, coming in at about M80 with his 83. But what I'm really excited by heading into this season is his last eight matches, including the three finals, averaging 103 Dream Team and 105 Supercoach. They are some massive numbers. He's gone into a full-time midfield role. Yes, there is tagging involved, But he does everything from a fantasy scoring point of view that we like. Gets the contested possessions, finds the uncontested pill as well, tackles, marks, and unlike a lot of midfielders, he does hit the scoreboard pretty well as well, which we really, really like. Obviously, with a tagging role, he will throw in a couple of stinker scores. But given he'll be going well into the double-digit rounds, I think he could certainly do worse than grabbing James Harms as an M6, M7, even a bench sort of play in some leagues is where I think he'll probably be going. Now, Melbourne are projected to be a pretty damn good team, and that certainly helps a midfielder like James Harms in terms of uncontested possessions and goals. Whereas I look at someone like, I was really considering, and I know people know that I'm really hot on Will Brody this year, but he's going to have to do it all through contested ball and tackles. He's not going to get the transition ball like James Harms will. Then Gold Coast aren't going to hit the scoreboard like Melbourne will. They're going to be losing their matches, whereas Melbourne, we expect, will be winning their matches. So I really think that the good things are happening for James Harms. Seems unlikely they're going to push guys like Christian Petracca in there. I really think he's a really good pick. Jono, I know you're a big fan of James Harms, and I think losing that forward status is going to slip him down your draft board a little bit, and someone you're going to get as value.
Yeah, absolutely. If he was at forward status, he'd probably right up there as a top 10 forward, in my opinion. As you said, goes both ways, gets his own ball, hits the scoreboard. It's just the complete fantasy role that we like here on the Draft Doctors. So, no, as a midfielder only, he will definitely slide, but still got my eye on him as, who knows, he has that potential to play as a defensive forward and maybe get that forward position later on in the year, but draft.
Well, the thing is, Melbourne didn't really recruit any midfielders, did they? They bolstered their defence. So it's not like they've gone out and replaced the position. And unless Melbourne go away from the tag, I think he's pretty safe. I don't think they're going to do it.
And they've lost Jesse Hogan, so they've lost also a marking forward, so they might need more forward pressure to keep that ball inside 50.
Well, I think that's good news for Christian Petracca more than Harms, but yeah.
Anyway. Even Alex Nilbourne too. So, Cam, who have you got there as your first sleeper?
So my first sleeper, guys, is someone who fell asleep on the field, but it was due to an irregular heartbeat. So it's Dylan Robertson. He came into the year, and there was a little bit of hype around what he could produce this year after a pretty stellar 2017, where he averaged 90 for the year. But, you know, against the Cats, he clearly went down, and from then it's been a bit of a risky proposition. Even thinking about Dylan Robertson gave me heart palpitations. But he had surgery to implement a monitor that fed streams of data back to the club doctors that basically monitored him exclusively all hours of the day for 3 months to try and pick where the irregularity was. And they also at the same time implemented a defibrillator into his chest, so just in case things break down, they can shock him back to life, right? But what that means is that over the time they've actually noticed that there is nothing wrong with his heart, and he is ready to get back into the game. He started training again, I think, in November, and so he's back on the field doing a pre-season now. With that high risk, though, that higher risk profile comes potentially higher reward, because I think there's probably three options here. Where one, people might have forgotten his scoring potential. He has only had the two relevant years over across about, you know, 7 or 8 year career. B, they might be worried about his heart still. No one saw that coming, and they probably won't see it coming again if it happens again. Or C, they might be more focused on Jimmy Webster and Shane Savage, who in his absence both scored, you know, pretty reasonably well in both Supercoach and AFL Fantasy. So I actually think there's enough cloud around Mr. Robertson that he might slip down the draft order a little bit, and you might get yourself a bargain.
Yeah, I think it's pretty well taken, Cam. Like, it's sort of out of sight, out of mind, and it's not like it was a ACL or something that's a bit more predictable. So I'm sort of with you. He did have a little bit of hype coming into the season. Yeah, I think he could be potentially a great late-round pick. He's actually going to be a fascinating player as to see where he goes in drafts.
Well, even ranking him would be an interesting one where you're going to rank him. Like, we know we've seen him have the high scores in the last couple of years, but can produce some crap ones. So it'd be interesting to see where he falls in the rankings this year. My first sleeper for the year is someone who probably wouldn't have even been drafted last year, and that is one Majak Dore from the North Melbourne Footy Club. He was used as a ruckman and pinch-hitting forward as well, but in a master stroke by Brad Scott, he was moved into defence and actually flourished quite well this year, where he averaged just the 12 possessions, 5 marks, 2.5 tackles, but and also the 5 hitouts. So when we look at a potential breakout or a sleeper candidate, we look at their score build, and that seems a pretty good building block foundation there for Majak Dore. He's going to be more Supercoach relevant than AFL fantasy purely because of the contested marks, the intercept marks he can take. Probably the prime example was him versus Alira in that Sydney game, North Melbourne Sydney game late in the year, which was just a cracker of a game, and they were both intercepting left, right, and centre. He can ton up. He did score 3 Supercoach tons and the 1 AFL fantasy ton with sprinkles of 80s and 90s in the back half of the season, but like any defender, they can pump out the 50s every now and again. I think he's going to take over the Scotty Thompson role eventually once he does retire. We did see Scotty Thompson have a bit of a resurgence this year, but he will take over that role where Scotty Thompson was actually pretty fantasy relevant for a couple of years, especially in Supercoach when he was at the height of his career. Just the average of 78 and 64 in fantasy this year, but look, if he's going to be intercepting left, right, and centre as predominantly in that defensive part of the ground, then I can see at least an 85 plus in Supercoach and around the 80s in AFL fantasy. And if Goldstein does go down, he can pinch hit in the ruck, so he's going to get possessions and hitouts if he does take over the ruck duties as well, because North Melbourne do have another ruckman, but he's very inexperienced at the moment.
Yeah, Jono, I'm absolutely on board with you here. I really like the pick, especially, as a Supercoach draft player. Absolutely love it. We played him even in AFL fantasy towards the end of the year, or Dream Team based formats at the end of the year, and he was quite serviceable for someone you were picking up off the waiver wire. Considering he's not been a staple in defence, I think he's really found a home for North Melbourne. I think that it makes sense that they would want to keep him developing with, obviously, Scott Thompson had a great year last year. Like, take nothing away from him, but he's obviously closer to the end than the beginning. I can't fault it, especially, like I said, for your Supercoach drafters.
And especially especially with these averages so low, then people are going to overlook that and not expect that projection. So you're going to get him anything from 18 to 20 for free. Basically.
You'll get him in 22. That's where you'll get him.
Yeah. Yeah.
Just a quick question on it, though. What caused the switch? Like, what drove that switch to defence? Besides, was it just a flip, Brad Scott just saying, you know what, it's not working literally anywhere else on the field, and you're pretty tall. I'm going to put you down there to intercept the ball.
That's the thing. Yeah, no. It actually did work. He was actually kicking goals, and he went into defence. So they've got a number of key tall forward options, obviously North Melbourne. So Brad Scott knows what he's doing.
Sometimes, yeah.
I don't know. People hate Brad Scott. I hate him, but he seems to be a good coach at the very least.
I just call him Bad Scott.
But he's not. He's the good Scott.
Sad Scott?
Yeah, well.
Grumpy Scott.
Generally.
Fair enough. Steve, who have you got there as your second sleeper?
So just remove all vowels because it is Francis Season, and that is Season with a Z. Aaron Francis played the 5 games in 2018 to bring his career total to 10 across 3 seasons, which, hashtag not great, but it's fair to say that at least on the outside, things appear to be trending up for Francis. Averaged the 65 Dream Team and 80 Supercoach. And again, like Majak Dore, Supercoach is really where I want to focus on Aaron Francis. Obviously buoyed by the fact that he averaged across his five games 4 intercept marks and 2.4 of those contested, which average most in the league for intercept marks, although it is a very small sample size, so let's not get super carried away. Super highly rated in his draft season. It's taken a little while to come along, but obviously Essendon kind of looked the goods. Let's also consider the fact that the pretzel man, he is out of there. So there could be even more opportunities from a fantasy perspective, especially when the assumed role taker of the Goddard role is broken his ankle in Mason Redmond. So I think Aaron Francis certainly obviously got talent coming out of his ears. Obviously, there's been some, I guess you'd say, mental demons about where he wants to be with his footy, but he seems very committed to Essendon. He's hired a personal trainer in his off-season, which, if you think PT swag is a thing, that can't be bad. Doss, you're an SA boy. Maybe you have a little bit more inside word on the Francis man. What do you think?
Absolutely no inside word, but he looked awesome in that final game of the season. Was it that final game of the season that he just did everything, looked like a superstar, took a hanger and stuff like that on, was it on Port Adelaide that he did that?
It was that last game, I'm not sure the opposition, but yeah, he had like 10 intercept marks or something.
It
was like
insane.
That.
Yeah, just... I think what you touched on in terms of a lot of it was just, like, obviously I'm not sure of the on-field stuff, but there was definitely some off-field issues, and at 21 years old still, surely there's some massive upside in there. But obviously, I don't know too much about the Supercoach stuff, but he even hit 94 fantasy points in that last game as well. So would you take a risk on him in the fantasy format, or is this you looking purely Supercoach, do you think?
Well, I think there's reason enough to look at him in fantasy as well, especially when you, like, I know joking, Brendan Goddard's out of the team, and I actually think it's good news for like a Michael Hurley, but I don't think it's bad news for a tall player who can find his own ball. Like an intercept mark, it's still winning your own ball in Aaron Francis. So he'd be my last pick in a 22-man league or 22-man team. But
yeah,
it's certainly someone you... I mean, if it doesn't go right, you can throw him back pretty quickly, but I certainly think there's the upside there. I'd probably shade Magic Door in AFL Fantasy. He seems to have a few more tricks up his sleeve, but I think in a Supercoach league either, I'm perfectly fine.
How low do you think he'll, like, I mean, you're talking sleepers as well. You reckon, like, do you think he'll play? I mean, he's only played, what, under... He's played 10 games for his career. There's pretty significant risk. Like, do you think he'll... Do you reckon people will take a risk early, or he'll be pretty late, won't he?
Well, I don't think he's going to go before round 17 in most drafts. Like, I'll put it that way. And realistically, when you're talking round 15 on, you tend to drop and change those players pretty quickly anyway. Like,
and who's your second sleeper there, Cam, please?
This one's probably someone that everyone was keen to draft maybe until last week. And I want to throw a little bit of a spanner in the works for everyone and get them rethinking about this gentleman, and it's Hugh McLuggage. So until last week, everyone had kind of assumed that he would maintain dual position status as a forward midfielder, and then Warnie and the fantasy lads came out
with... No, don't blame them. Blame Champion Data. They're the assholes.
But they were the messenger, and to kill the messenger is another thing entirely, but they were the messenger, and everyone's heart dropped. So I did some searches on Twitter before for McLuggage to see what the comments were, and there was one that was genuinely just McLuggage over and over and over again for the 140 characters. So people were devastated. And I'm here to tell you that you really don't need to jump off the bandwagon for this one. So even if he's only a mid, I think that means that you're actually going to get him as a bit of a slider in your draft. And you're looking at someone who's probably a third-year breakout. So he slowly broke out at the end of his second year, whereby he averaged 87.4 AFL fantasy points in his last 10 games, which isn't very good for, you know, it's not a very good midfielder. If you drafted him, you'd be maybe a little bit unhappy. But in those 10 games, what was fantastic, and remember this is his second year, he scored 7 games over 90, including 3 tons. That's massive. Like, that's really, really good for a second-year player. Statesman says over and over and over again that third year is where you want to be targeting these players. So you've got Statesman on your side, you've got a whole bunch of good scores in his second year on your side. You can probably grab him quite late in your draft, and you still may end up with a 95 forward. 95 mid for the year. And that's a bargain. Massive bargain.
Don't be endorsing anything that salad eating prick says.
Yeah, but I'm actually a massive, massive fan of the suitcase. He's a legend. And I think one of the big scoring upside that he has, I am one that believes Brisbane will actually be a lot more improved this year, obviously, and they've getting Lachie Neale and stuff in as well. But he's actually an awesome goal-kicking mid. So even when he's playing in the mid, he can sneak forward and kick goals. That's what he did when he was in the juniors at TAC Cup level. He would always sneak forward and kick a bunch of snags. And he's not even hit his straps in that perspective yet, I feel like. I think that's a big upside in his scoring. And I'm a massive fan of Hugh McCluggage. And I can see a situation where he may actually get forward status back at some point, because he's one of these guys that can spend a lot of time up forward. He's so talented around the ground. But I feel like his running capacity, he'll definitely be playing in the midfield a lot and be able to sneak forward and kick some snags.
It's a good point, Doss, especially around that goal-kicking side. So, you look at his one game, round 20, where he kicked 3 against North. That's probably a sign of things to come. He's not going to kick that every week, but it's pretty nice to know that he can.
And I'm kind of hoping Warning hit the wrong button, like we saw with Donuts Motlop last year, where they forgot to give him forward status. So maybe that's what they've done with McCluggage this year, just forgot to hit that button and add forward status. That's where I'm at with him. But moving on to my second sleeper, he is a bit of a forgotten man of the Port Adelaide defence, and that is Hamish Hartlett. Only played the 5 games in 2018 before he went down with the ACL injury, so he's back on track to come back in for 2019. And there's a bit of an interesting dynamic there at the Port Adelaide footy club. They've got Ryan Burton traded in now, they've lost Jack Homsch, so where is Hamish Hartlett going to fit into that defensive team? I don't think he will be. I think he will be pushed out into the Jared Pollock role. Now, they need someone to launch the ball inside 50. They've lost Chad Wingard, who was the second guy who was launching the ball inside 50. They need outside runners. We know Hamish Hartlett is not the best user of the footy, so coming out of defence, probably not his wheel bag, but kicking it inside forward 50 when you've got Jack Watts and Charlie Dixon floating around, that might be his wheel bag there. And
his,
so I'm
what?
Looking at.
Did you say his wheel bag?
Isn't that the term?
Wheelhouse?
I thought it was wheel bag.
I think it's just his bag, baby. Isn't that what Austin Powers said? Fucking wheel bag.
I'm not going Austin Powers. Fuck that.
Wheel bag? You've just gone with wheel bag?
That's a term, isn't it?
Cam,
have you ever seen a bag of wheels?
Doss. Yes.
Wait, yes?
What? Don't you carry a bag of wheels with you, just in case?
Is that, I mean, I know you live in Cranbourne.
The wheelhouse or wheel bag?
I know there's a lot of crime in Cranbourne. You're just fucking swinging a sack of wheels.
No, you keep your wheels in a bag so your car doesn't get stolen. Just put them on a block and put them on the next morning.
You put your own car on blocks. That's amazing.
With
Hamish Hartlett.
How's he going to move along the wing, though? Have you seen the size of his quads? Is that what you're saying? You think he's going to be more of an outside sort of runner? Is that what you're saying?
He'll be an outside player.
You reckon? Isn't there talk of like Ryan Burton being the runner in that role? And there's a few other quick guys at Port Adelaide as well. I just don't see him, that role being available to him, but.
No, no, we need to really triple team John on this one.
All right, guys, how about I'm going to segue into my next pick.
No, this conversation's not finished. Come at
me. Oh, trust me, it's not finished, I can tell you that much. So my pick for that wing role is a man by the name of Dan Houston. So you've got two people who are the same player in Ryan Burton and Dan Houston, basically the same size, basically the same age, basically the same distributor and intercepting marker.
How's their super? Yeah.
Compare the pair, and look, it's a plus or minus 25 grand because Hawks is on Oz Super. But this is my pick. Like, I think you're wrong. I think Hamish Hartlett will remain in defence, and Dan Houston will be the guy on the wing taking the Pollock role. And I've only got 3 points for this guy, right? Third year player again, spot in the wing. And even if he doesn't, he's actually been solid, if unspectacular, in his opening 2 years. You know, 8 games over 82 last year. It's not something that you'd want in your team on draft day, but you'd think he would improve.
Hartlett knocked out a ton in these 5 games before going down with an ACL.
Oh, snap.
Wait, are you using an ACL as a good point?
Before.
Didn't we mention who's come back from an ACL last week and actually done well, and it was some obscure basketball reference there, Steve?
No, that was
NFL.
Adrian Peterson.
Looks good for him then. So I'm just going with Dan Houston for the same reasons Jono's just said, except for he doesn't have the magic quads that Doss has pointed out for Hartlett.
Well, one of us is going to be on the You Suck show.
Can't wait.
More than likely me.
I don't think either are going to be on the You Suck show, but I just think they're both going to be meh.
Doss, you're the
Adelindian, if that's a word. You know, come on, spit fire on them.
Once again, no inside scoop from old Dossie over here, unfortunately. But Dan Houston, compared to Hartlett, I'd be worried, especially considering Hartlett's age being like he's heading into age 29 season, and that for me last year, the fact that he played well almost seemed like just it was miraculous, that because the last couple of years before that had been putrid, and it was almost like another breakout at age 28, so it was devastating to see him go down with the ACL. But I was actually, speaking of the basketball stuff, even though it was NFL, but speaking of the basketball stuff, I was looking up some stuff for a article recently, and I saw something that, I don't know, might be relevant here, and it was something like to do with the NBA when they get their PER, which is like the player efficiency rating, when it spikes and it's after their age 28 season, they call it the fluke rule. So it's just basically just a once-off kind of massive performance before again declining. And I'm worried with Hartlett for that fact that he had a massive season and his marks were just way up in that defensive role. And I really hope he does get back to his best, but I'm just worried on that front. And Dan Houston, I actually can see some like reasonable upside with Dan Houston, but Port Adelaide's just, I have no idea what's going to happen with Port Adelaide. There's so many options that they can go with in basically every role next year. It's going to be really dependent on, you know, who does get those roles. Dan Houston could. I think they keep talking about Ryan Burton being on the wing, so it's basically, I think, maybe whoever else gets on the other wing that we've got to worry about. But sorry, boys, no inside goss from Dossie.
Doss, that was far too reasonable, mate. But, I don't know, you come on to guest on this pod and you're throwing reason out? Come on, mate.
Sorry, mate.
Jared Leonard, there you go. He'll take bloody...
Well, I think that's the problem with the Port Adelaide players, and it sort of has been the last couple of years, is it's been sort of everyone and no one. Mm. And you look at, like, obviously they've moved on from Pittard, but there's sort of been Hartlett, obviously Burton's come in, now they've got Leanett. They had Houston, they've also got Darcy Byrne-Jones, all these players who seem of a similar ilk, as well as, who was that other guy? Bonner?
MB?
No. Matthew Broadbent.
He had to get a mention.
He's in the grave. Just for all the new listeners, Matthew Broadbent doesn't actually exist. He's just a hologram of a football player, and he doesn't actually provide you any fantasy value. So they've got a lot of options across halfback, and generally in that situation, it's the person who doesn't cost me anything is the one that I want, although for me it's Darcy Byrne-Jones, so, or Ryan Burton. Neither of the pricks you mentioned.
So Port Adelaide are the Western Bulldogs of South Australia.
Yeah, but their half forward line, their half back line is what your half forward line is.
Yeah, fair enough. All right, moving on to your last sleeper there, Steve. Sorry, Doss.
Oh, sorry. We forgot to mention Connor Rosie, who's played some awesome half-back flankness. He's the draftee for Port, pick 5. I just thought I'd throw that out there. Totally forgot about him. He actually, I think he's a forward defender this year. Oh, my goodness. I do have some inside goss. I totally forgot about that. He is amazing. Love that kid. So watch out. He's the guy.
This isn't salary cap, Doss. Just throwing that out there, mate.
Man, well, if Statesman was here, you could have had a chat with him for the next half an hour, but thank God he isn't. All right, my last sleeper is Rowan Marshall from the St Kilda Football Club. A 201-centimetre forward who can pinch hit in the ruck, and with the Saints getting rid of Tom Hickey, that only leaves Billy Longer and Lewis Pierce there, so it's going to be Billy Longer who... Yeah, he's not the greatest ruckman going around, and he will certainly not be playing 100% of the game in that ruck. So there is a good score build there for Mr. Rowan Marshall. He averaged 13 possessions, 5.5 marks, 2.5 tackles, and 9 hitouts a game with a goal a game as well. So sample size there of a good score build for Rowan Marshall. If he gets a little bit more mid-ruck time to hit out to advantage, that's more points in Supercoach, and he could be that guy who is in transition going inside 50, because they do have your McCartans, your Josh Bruce's when he does play, so they do have targets inside 50. He can actually get you a nice little score. I mean, he's not going to be a top 10 averaging forward by any means, but if he can get around just a tick over the 80s, 83, 84, you can use him quite easily as an F5 or even as a stream option. So I'm looking at Rowan Marshall, especially to step it up next year, especially with Hickey now going to the West Coast Eagles.
Yeah, he's just definitely a sleeper. I'm probably just not keen.
Well, it's a late end of the draft pick, so it's not going to cost me anything. And as you said before, just doesn't work yet. Toss him back in the sea, because
and that's the thing. My problem is, like, I just don't like, and we spoke about him at various times last year. Fuck me, this Thunder's pretty legit.
Oh, we heard that.
Yeah,
we heard it.
I think it was just God actually saying, "Stay away from Rowan." No Rowan. I think it's going to be really hard to predict his good games. That's what I'll say.
Do you think if it's too much of the St Kilda having the in the tools department, you've got Bruce, Marshall and McCartan floating around in that forward line?
Well, I think he's going to need an injury. I think he's going to need, I think they've got three better tall forwards, like,
Membry.
McCartan, Membry, and not that Membry's huge, but he plays that role.
Bruce.
And Bruce, and they've probably got a more established first choice ruck. So, to me, I think it's really hard to see where he succeeds. And I don't think he can get to regular game.
There's also the King brother that got drafted to Saints that's supposed to be a key forward. And, I mean, he did his ACL in his draft year, but they expect him to be back pretty early in the season as well. And he's very, like, what did he go and pick 4, I think? They're expecting
him to... Is he the forward or defender?
He's a key forward. His brother played key defender until the other brother got injured. And then they both played as key forwards for the... last part of the year. But yeah, the Saints guy is a forward.
I do like Rowan Marshall, but I think you're right in regards to Jono, in regards to him being more of a streamer when he does play, and if there's injuries and similarly, you'd probably bring him on for a game here and there.
Well, hopefully he can get traded the year after to a team that needs a tall forward, so he ain't getting a game next year.
Western Bulldogs.
No, we've got plenty now, we don't need him.
Are any of them any good?
Shacky, Tom Boyd, Billy Gowers, yeah.
That's a no.
I'm on Shacky, not this year, but next year.
Yeah, I can buy that. Gowers, he can be a streamer.
No.
Depending where they're playing. Well, stuff, yep, we're going to move on to the questions. We've got quite a few this week. What are you laughing at, Camboy?
Oh, it's just a brilliant way to throw to the questions there. Stuff here, everyone. And now let's have the questions. Brilliant.
Well, if I do a full Jono, I'll just basically just shut down this pod and just walk out. But I'm not going to do that because have some sort of professionalism. I'm going to kick it off with Henry Katz. He asked on Twitter, can you see David Armitage averaging 85 or more in Supercoach next year?
I can, but I think it takes an injury to get there.
Yeah, I don't see him getting regular games, I agree.
Yeah, that's my point. I think he probably scores okay if he plays, but it's not someone I'm looking to draft per se. And yeah, again, I'd probably want an injury for him to be an every week starter.
I think he gets the average, but he does it off one game. That's it.
So he's doing a Sam Reid, is he?
Yep.
Can we either get some job security for Alan Richardson or just fire him already? Because the fact that he's still that he's coaching now, and what's his contract? Is he still on a short contract? Because if they haven't given him job security, then they're just ruining the Saints. Because last year he kept going back to those veterans when there's just seriously no point in doing it. And I just don't know why he doesn't either go with the youth and give him job security so that he doesn't have to worry about winning games, or just get rid of him anyway.
Well, he's gone because Brett Ratton's just sitting there biding his time, and once Richo gets the sack, in comes Ratto. So
the problem if we started a fire Richo campaign is I started a fire Bucks campaign last year, and then he made the fucking grand final. So that prick's not going anywhere for about a decade or two.
I think teams are getting a bit tricked though into the Damien Hardwick, how they sort of held faith in him for so long, and now you got other teams holding faith, and obviously now this Bucks thing doesn't help other teams realize, hey, we've got the wrong bloke here. So I don't know.
Don't mention the other Scott brother, please don't.
I won't. But with Richo, it's quite interesting in regards to he came out and he actually said, you know what, I've found out why I'm not doing too well. It's been my fault all along. You know, let me move on. And the Saints had the perfect opportunity just then to be like, yeah, you're right, it was your fault, you're out. But they stuck with him. That's in this off-season, anyway.
And then they brought in another old veteran for him to use, even if he's going to be bad. I'm hoping Dan Hannabury bounces back, but if he starts playing him and he's, you know, trash, and then we see David Armitage lining up against him, we know it's time for that campaign to start, I think.
Oh, my God. Can you imagine someone trashing Dan Han if, say, Staseman was on this pod?
I said I think he'll be good. I hope he'll be good anyway. But
fucking having a bit each way there, Doss.
I said if he's trash and he's playing him. I didn't say he is. Sorry, Staseman.
Doss, you heard it here. Doss, Dan Han is trash.
Righto, Branko asks, is Kane Lambert a top 25 forward for next year? And it looks like I've got a bit of a fan because he also misses my dulcet monotones on the pod. So thanks, Branko.
And your smooth transitions as well, Jono.
That's what it's about.
Get stuffed.
Kane Lambert, top 25 forward. That's the question.
Yeah, I'll lock in yes.
I'm going to say no. I think Handsome takes points off him.
Maybe.
25's a big number.
He was 26 in Supercoach this year.
Do you know what the difference between
the total 20, score.
Do you know what the difference between 20 and 30 was last year?
About 0.3%.
Three fucking points.
Yeah.
So he's in that ballpark, I think.
How's it feel up there, mate? On that fence.
Well, I'm trying to give people perspective. And there's a lot of perspective up on the fence. You get a real good view. No, I don't think he will be. Oh, there you go. I'll say it. I don't think he will be. I think he'll be more 25 to, I'll say 40.
Benny Macker asked, who are the best draftees from a dynasty perspective coming into next year?
Nick Blakey. Well, and Sam Walsh, like, Jesus.
Hey, shout out to my article. I think I pretty much covered all that, boys. Thedraftdoctors.com.au. Check it out. Top 10 picks. Have a look.
Well, who are some of those players there?
Goes through, basically, that the top picks have generally been better from a fantasy perspective. So that would be, your Sam Walsh's. And technically, you're just your high picks. Number one has barely missed in terms of when it's a midfielder, obviously. generally. So yeah, I mean, if I had a choice in a pick one situation, I would just trust the scouts, unfortunately. Like, I mean, it's pretty boring to do. I mean, I love taking a punt, but in terms of the data that I looked at, and obviously it's pretty variable, but that I'd just be sticking with going the number one pick, Sam Walsh, for a dynasty situation.
And maybe grab Lukosius and Rankin, because they'll be out of the Gold Coast in a couple of years' time anyway and playing good football.
Well, honestly, Benny knows. Benny's all over this sort of stuff, so he's a pretty sharp operator. But yeah, I'd look for the most obvious situations where someone can fit in. Like, to me, Nick Blakey actually fits into Sydney. Like, I don't think it's a super deep midfield, so I'd probably target the situations that don't seem super deep. Or,
I mean, Bailey Smith looks like an awesome draftee as well, but do you reckon he's a pure mid, but do you reckon they'll play him at fullback this year, Jono, or?
Don't know too much about Bailey Smith, so I haven't seen enough of him, so I'll have to wait for the JLT and
get an opinion. He's actually more, like, better spoken than the Bont was when he was 18 or whatever, which is ridiculous to think, because the Bont was like an old man by the time he was 18, so it's pretty crazy.
So Luke Beveridge is going to wreck his career playing him deep forward or deep back.
Definitely.
We sort of covered it early in the show, but Chizo asked, any chance of Taranto and the McCluggage sliding in the draft since losing DPP, and where do you see them going in Supercoach drafts for 2019?
Yeah, I think it's a really good point. I think they will slide in drafts because they've lost that forward status, and the simple fact is you could say Taranto is going to be an F1 or a top 10 forward, whereas what's he going to be from a midfield perspective, like an F4? Like, if he improves? So I think you will get a bargain. I think this might be a hot take, but I think McCluggage will probably go a lot undrafted in, say, a 22-man league. Like, I think that's a real chance to happen in a lot of leagues. I think Taranto probably gets drafted, but I don't think...
I think Taranto gets drafted very late.
Well, I think it's really going to vary, Jono, to be perfectly fair, from league to league. Like, as we say, it only takes one person to draft someone. So I can see him going in one league in round 10 and another league in round 18. So I think he's got a really wide range. And that probably doesn't give you a great perspective, Chizo. That's going to be one that the mock simulator might help people narrow down when we eventually get releasing that, and you'll get a better perspective. But I think a guy like Timmy Taranto has a really, really wide draft range. I think McCluggage doesn't so much, though. I think he's a real back-end player.
I think I sort of look at both of them as that. Again, I'm all about speculative picks for late end of the draft, and maybe one defender on field, one midfielder on field, one forward on field, that someone who can either bust and go straight to the wave and find someone better, or ends up being a success. And you maybe hit one out of the three every year, and I'd be happy to have either of them or both in my team, one on the field and one as a bench speculative.
Sean Davey asks, hey legend, love the pod. He was wondering if we could do a bit of a more in-depth segment regarding tiers and how best to put them together for the coming season. So I think we might be able to squeeze something in the just before we go into drafting season, might be able to do a show that and just go a bit more in depth. I'm not sure if we did one last year, Steve. Did we do a tiering show last year?
We definitely did tiering. Thanks for the question, Sean. Yeah, we'll put out an article probably in January about tiering, but it's really hard to start our actual tiers before the positions get released. Was there a second part to that question?
There was a second part. He asked, what's the rough date on the mock site coming up on board? He says it's never too early. Thanks, champs. So the mock draft site, we're looking at early Jan this year. We know it came out in February last year. So looking at around the early Jan mark, just after Christmas, New Year, to get drafting and ranking. We're hoping all the positions will be out by then, and go at it.
Yeah, just as a quick primer, if you're already starting to make your draft lists in regards to tiering, is this the last question, Joe?
Two more.
Well, do you want to squeeze those questions through, and we'll see if we can come back to the tiering?
Yeah, sure. Quickly, Tim Davis asks, who are the biggest beneficiaries to the list changes at the Gold Coast? He's looking at a huge year from Pierce Hanley. No. I'm looking at Fiorini, Jack Martin, Braden Crossley for me for the Gold Coast. And Steve, I know you're hot on Bowes and Brody.
Yeah, no one is the beneficiary at Gold Coast because they're going to be dog shit. So I'm not expecting anyone to be amazing there. I love Jack Martin as a player. I love Will Brody as a player. I think you're on the right track with Pierce Hanley. It's going to be a guy who you draft late who's a defender or a forward. Obviously, Jared Witts is probably a pick as well for a late ruck drafter, but it's the guys who I'm getting, like Pierce Hanley, who should be a late-round defender or maybe a late-round forward, like who could pop, potentially like a Darcy McPherson might pop. I don't know. But I'm certainly not spending draft capital on a team that should be absolutely putrid.
Fair enough. Mitch Bagley asks, from a keeper perspective, how do you track progression? Do you compare the established or the retired players? And could you compare them to the younger player size and position and style? He says there's a lot of factors to go into it, but or does he say getting close, but close enough... Like, as in, do they show enough? Is that the way to track it as well?
Contested possessions and role. Like, those are the things I look at. Like, if you can win your own pill, you can score at the AFL level. If there's a role there, like, if there's an old... Like, look at... If there's an area of the ground for a particular team where the players are old, that's where I'm looking to draft the youth, if that makes sense.
So when there's a position bubble or points bubble opening up, that's when you go to grab it.
Mm. Anything else, boys, on that?
No. I think that's basically it. Covered it well.
Yeah, Sean, sorry we couldn't get back to the tiering. We're just running out of time on the pod, but we'll definitely address tiering in a later pod, and we'll absolutely have an article coming out. It's a really critical thing, but we're just running out of time on today's pod, so we'll absolutely get back to it. Thanks for the question again, mate.
Yeah, and thanks everyone for their questions this week. We are going to wrap it up. Thank you to Golden Tonsils DOS for joining us this week. I know you've just taken a spoonful of food, so I'm going to ramble on for a few seconds more, but thank you very much for joining the pod, and hopefully you can sell
it. Is that fucking salad?
That I support is... you, Statesman, always.
Jesus Christ. Just what I like of the guy. We've had beers with him. He seems like a cool guy and brings out salad. We are wrapping this baby up. Thanks for listening. We will see you next week.